Hello, let me add my welcome to David's. My name's Rory Graham. I'm the Associate Vicar here. Let me pray just before I speak for a few minutes from the passage which we've had read for us. Lord of all gentleness, Lord of all calm, may we be content with your voice. May we be aware of your presence. May we discover the Lord Jesus bringing peace to our hearts at the end of this and at the end of every day. Amen. We have been robbed. I'm speaking as someone who has been bereaved this year. We have been robbed, and it's cruel. It's cruel in the extreme to have lost someone during COVID. Some of us weren't able to be with those who we loved in their final days, as David said, to hold them, to kiss them, to reassure them, to speak of our love to them. And that's bitter. We've been robbed of being able to mourn them properly, in the way that we would have wanted to, with all of our family, in the way that we planned. We've had to put up with thin gruel instead, peering in as if from outside via a web link, perhaps, when we wanted to be with those who we love, to support our friends and our family. We've been robbed, not being able to sing, not being able to sit with, not being able to comfort people who needed us and whose comfort we needed. We've been robbed, and I'm so sorry. And this robbery is a case of just adding insult to injury. You see, death is the greatest robber of all. It's death who has robbed us of the ones who we love. It is death that's denied us the joy, the pleasure of time with them. Sometimes it's been the slow creep of death, a death that we've seen coming from miles off and been powerless to stop, powerless to do anything about. A death which has exposed our impotence and caused us to be so angry. Other times we've been robbed in a heartbeat. The first we knew about it was the terrible jangle of the telephone at some unspeakable hour, leaving us devastated and shocked. Death robs us of birthday celebrations, of places around the Christmas table. It robs us of seeing our parents hugging their grandchildren. It robs us of years of love and companionship, and in its wake, it leaves an emptiness. We have been robbed, and we feel, well, furious, distraught, numb, deeply wounded. There are so many different answers to that question, aren't there? When people say, how are you doing? Here's another one. I have been robbed. Robbed of someone who's dear to me. One of the things I love about Jesus is he gets it. He gets what it's like to live in this world. He gets what it's like to be robbed. He knows how you're feeling because he has felt it. He's so real, Jesus. If you have a picture of white nighty guy, of blow-dry beard guy, then you aren't thinking of the Jesus of history. The Jesus of history, the Jesus of the Bible, loved people. He knew what it was like to be tired after a hard day. He loved a good meal with friends. He would chat to anyone. And he was also robbed. Robbed by death of a friend. Please would you just turn to the back page of our order of service. You'll see it right there. The top of the page, verse 38 of this eyewitness account. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Deeply moved. The word there is angry, saddened, indignant. Jesus is standing before the grave of his friend, and he knows that death has done the dirty on him. He's been robbed, and he's furious, not just about the death of his friend, but about the mess that death makes in all our lives. Jesus hates death. He hates the bitter sorrow it causes the dead man's sister. He hates how it ends relationships, how it brings decay, how it messes up the world that he has made. If you have ever thought, ever said, this should not have happened, then Jesus is with you. He agrees with you. He's indignant because he knows that all death, not just the death of his friend, all death should not have happened. Like the robber it is. When people turned away from God, we left the door open and death broke into the world and ruined it. Jesus is indignant because he knows that all death hurts. That's why we're here this afternoon, because death is not okay. Jesus knows how you're feeling, and it's how he feels too. But the really wonderful thing about Jesus is he does something about it. Before we see what it is he does, just notice that Lazarus, that's the name of the man whose tomb Jesus is standing before, Lazarus is really dead. He's in a cave with a stone rolled across the mouth. That's how people were buried in the first century in Israel. And he's been there for 4 days. He's not just slipped into a coma. He's really dead. And that's important because Jesus is about to demonstrate how much more powerful he is than death. He's going to bring Lazarus back to life. And as I say this, I can hear you thinking, oh, there's the associate vicar going off on one, telling porkies from the front. I understand that. This isn't what normally happens. But then Jesus isn't a normal person. Have a look, please, Dan. See what you make of the evidence with me. Verses 43 and 44. When he, that's Jesus, had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Did you hear that? Just with a word, Jesus undoes death. He picks death's pocket. He's so deeply moved about the devastation that death has caused, he does something about it, and he proves that he's more powerful than death, just with a word. I understand that's hard to believe, but imagine just for a moment that Jesus is who he said he was, God himself. Wouldn't God be able to undo death? Undo the mess that death has made? Stop this robbery once and for all? Well, you would hope so. Let me say to you, if you follow a God, make sure the God you follow is stronger than death. If he isn't, well, you're being shortchanged. You're wasting your time. With just a word, and it is almost unbelievable. I say almost because one of the things that helps me to believe that it's true is the fact that his enemies, the religious bigwigs of the day, the Pharisees, they didn't try and dispute what Jesus had done. They and everyone else knew what he'd done. Have a look down at verses 47 and 48. This is the Pharisees speaking. 47, the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. It's the religious bigwigs. We're having a powwow. We're having a get-together. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. They don't say Jesus is a con man. They don't say, what a scam. They don't say, oh, that's not Lazarus, that's just his brother, and they've dressed him up in his clothing. They know what has happened. They know that Jesus is more powerful than death. And they say, we're really stumped. So if that's the case, and I want to suggest to you that you have to seriously consider that in the light of this eyewitness account. If Jesus is more powerful than death, then how should we, how should you, how should I respond? Well, our eyewitness report gives us a steer here as well. For the last time, just glance down, please. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. They put their faith in Jesus. I wonder if you've ever been on a high ropes course. Have you ever done that? Pretty terrifying. Perhaps you've seen children or grandchildren do it. They're one of these sort of things, they're treetop height. So I'm imagining they're about the height of the top of the arches. And it's like an obstacle course at sort of that height. It's ridiculous, really. There's one at Bedgebury Pine Eaton. My daughter loves heights, and her kind grandparents gave the whole family a trip round this course. It's called Go Ape. And right at the end, when your arms are aching and when your knees are feeling a little bit like jelly, there is the leap of faith. It's a swing where you in your harness on the platform, 30 feet up, step off into the void, as it were. And just for a moment, it is only a moment, but it feels like a lifetime, you fall before the rope tightens, and you are swung into a cargo net. And with a huge amount of relief, you scramble, or sort of quiver, your way down to the floor. They call this swing the leap of faith. And it's actually quite a good name for it, because I'm at the back, and I've seen the children go ahead and throw themselves shrieking gleefully into this net. And my turn comes. They're standing at the bottom, saying, are you chicken? I'm standing at the top thinking, am I mad? And then I've just got to take stock. Am I securely clipped in? Yes. Has this harness held me via the monkey bars and the ropes and all the zip wires and all the other things we've done so far? Yes. Has everyone else who has safely taken this ridiculous step got down safely? Yes. Can I trust that the people who built this had it in their general interest that no one would plummet to their death? Yes. So I stepped off, dropped, swung, briefly loved it, briefly hated it, and was very, very, very thankful to get to the ground. The leap of faith I took was not some speculative step into the unknown. It was based on the evidence of my eyes and the experience of what had happened to other people. So when the Bible says the people who saw Jesus undo death put their faith in him, it's saying they did the only sensible thing, having seen what he'd done. They trusted their lives and their deaths to him. They saw that being that he was someone who can defeat that wicked robber death, and they thought, he's worth knowing more of, he's worth following, I'm going to trust him. I need to stop. Thank you for listening. But I must tell you that what Jesus does here is only the warm-up act. The main event, when he destroyed death forever, well, when he died on the cross, when he rose again to life, well, that was the real deal. Because of that, death is not the end for those who have put their faith in Jesus. Because of his rising again, everyone who is his will rise again. I'm sure you see what that means. It means that the robber death does not have the last word. It means that the pain and the hurt and the numbness I feel over the death of my cousin is only temporary. Yes, it hurts. But no, it won't last forever. That the friendship, that the fun that we had together will return. Why? Well, because he had put his faith in Jesus. You see, Jesus is more powerful than death. And for that reason, I want to commend him to you today. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll be able to stay for a cup of tea and some cake. I will be staying as well and would be delighted both to have some cake and to talk to you about Jesus if you'd like that. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you say the astonishing words that began our service. And then you prove that you are more powerful than that robber death. Please help us to see very clearly your power and then to respond rightly by putting our faith, putting our lives into your hands. We ask, knowing that you love us and that what you have for us is the best. Amen.